me, please, as we invite Jesus' presence into our service, remain standing for our opening hymn. Loving Jesus, what a privilege it is to come to your house. We are the sheep of your pasture, and we come here to be fed by you. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon every one of us that is here. I pray that special anointing upon our Caneo young people as they bless us with their voices today, that you be with every individual that has a part in our service today, that you just pour your love and grace into our hearts. Help us to close the distractions of the world out of our mind and our hearts, and use this day to focus on the blessings that you want to give us. So as we worship you today, we do so in honor, in humility, and in praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me. When by the gift of his infinite grace I am accorded up heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me. Thank you, and be seated.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Now is the time in the service that I'd like to invite all the children to come up, and I'd like to tell a story. If I can have all the children come up. There's Madison. is this? Yeah. Do you have any more sequels? Welcome, boys and girls. Are you having a nice Sabbath so far? Yes. Well, I want to talk to you today about trusting and the great rewards that we get for trusting. Who knows what a reward is? Who wants to share? Rachel?
Something you get after you do something good or like a chore.
Okay, something you get good?
Yeah.
Yeah, a reward is good, right? And trusting is hard to do sometimes. How many of you trust your mommy or your daddy? You know they're going to feed you, right? Okay, good. So we know it's easy to trust our mom and dad because we're with them all the time, right? Right? How many of you have a friendship with someone that you feel like you can trust? Oh, that's good. Do you feel like you can tell them a secret and they'll tell you? Yeah? Okay. What about having to do something? What if your friend tells you or your mommy tells you to do something and you're afraid to do it? Has that happened to anybody? Does anybody want to share what that was? Zach?
Well, sometimes it's scary to say apologies to people.
That's a good one. It's really hard. And I was sitting here actually thinking something exactly like that. It's very hard to say an apology. But if we trust our parents, right, it can sometimes, we know that if we do it because we trust them, there might be a reward. What's the reward when you apologize?
You don't feel bad about anything. You feel good.
That's awesome. You feel this freedom. You don't have anything. How many of you are afraid to be perform? Like you have to do a performance or something? Yeah, hands down. Usually when I come up and do children's story, I'm not normally afraid. But for some reason today, I'm very nervous. I'm not sure why, except that I don't know why, but I'm definitely nervous today, you guys. But I know that God's going to be with me because I prayed, and I know that he's going to use me and teach you that if you trust him, you can get a reward. Now, how many of you trust me? Wow. I'm glad that my children are raising their hands, and I'm really surprised. Happy that some of you don't have even met me raise your hand. But I want to show you something. Is it set? How many of you have ever seen a mouse trap? Keep your hands up if you've seen the mouse trap go off. Oh, is it quiet or loud? Mr. Mayor is going to hold it for me. I have to be heavier than a mouse. Yeah. I don't want to use my finger. I might break it. Yeah, that's scary and that's loud. Okay. Take that. But what if... What if I said, I asked you to come up and take this dollar... and that you would trust me that I would not harm you. How many would do that? Wow, we got some trusting kids. Okay, I think I'm gonna pick Rachel. You know I'm not gonna harm you, right? Do you trust me? Have I ever hurt you?
Sometimes.
I knew that was coming, never on purpose. Okay, she got that. And what I wanted to illustrate to you guys was when we trust, You get a reward. What was Rachel's reward? A dollar, right? She got a dollar. But if we, and why was it easy for Rachel to trust me? Why was it easy for Rachel to trust me?
Because she's your mom. I mean, because you're her mom.
Yeah, because I'm her mom and we have a good relationship. We talk every day. We pray together every night. So if we want to learn to trust Jesus, we have to develop a relationship with him, right? By talking to him and praying with him. And who can tell me what our reward's going to be if we trust in Jesus? If we trust him, what's our reward?
A gift.
And what is that beautiful gift?
Something that you get.
Yeah, what do we get?
Heaven.
We get to spend the rest of our lives, eternity, forever and ever in heaven, which is much more awesome than a dollar. But what I would like to do is I'm going to pray with you, and after I pray, I'm going to give each one of you a dollar so that you remember that your reward, if you trust in Jesus, okay? So can you bow your heads with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, that you died for us, for each one of us. That you did that, Lord, so that if we have a relationship with you and that we trust you, that you will give us a wonderful reward, much greater than a dollar, but eternity in heaven, Lord. Help us to trust you, Lord, even when it's something that we're afraid of, so that we can experience that wonderful reward. And bless each one of these children. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'm glad these kids are all getting a dollar because it's time for offering. Good morning, church. Good morning, Caneo, C-A-E-S. What do we call you guys? Caneo? Okay. Look at all these wonderful dollars going back. You know, hold on to those because we're going to be passing the offering plate down the aisle soon, okay? Today's offering is for global missions. I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you have served in the mission field at some point, either grown up or actually served there? Wow, there's quite a few. That's pretty good. How many of you have been honored or have gotten to go on mission trips, either with schools or, wow, look at that. That's good. I remember as a little kid growing up in Central Valley of California, and my great aunt and uncle served, oh man, 20, 30 years in Africa as missionaries. And I used to love listening to their stories about growing up. Say what? In Lions. Probably. But it was just always interesting to me how the Adventist Church has made it one of our goals to reach all the different areas of the world and to share the gospel. And today's offering is to go towards spreading the gospel in different areas of the world. I was reading through some notes that the pastor gave me, and something I found interesting is every penny that is picked up today for global missions goes to global missions. It's not used for administrative costs or anything like that. It goes directly into spreading the gospel around the world. If you want to give towards global missions, you can mark your tithe envelope as such. Any loose offerings will go towards church budget. Deacons, could you please stand? Dear Father, thank you that we've had the opportunity to gather as a church family and to worship you and to hear special music today. But please take these offerings that we're collecting at this time and use them to further your gospel around the world to people that have not heard it and have not been blessed to know your love. And those individuals that are working hard in the field, the mission field, to spread your gospel. Please bless them. Thank you for watching over each one of us. Amen.
Good morning, church, and a happy Sabbath. I'd invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 9 through 11. I'm reading to you from the NIV version. I will read in your hearing. Are you there? Say amen. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and give him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I invite you to kneel where possible. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, it is only by your grace that we are here today. And God, we pray that as we continue throughout this service, that you will speak to your, to our hearts. We invite you into this place this morning, Lord, to heal the brokenhearted, to be with those who have suffered losses in their family, to be with those, Lord, who are experiencing financial difficulty, to be with those of us, Lord, who are struggling with decisions that we need to make for life, Lord. We pray for those parents and those guardians and those teachers and leaders, Lord. We pray for your continued guidance, Father, in our church, in our schools, wherever we go, God. We know that things are becoming increasingly hard for us. And Father God, we pray that we will stay close to you, Lord, no matter what. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for accepting us for who we are. Teach us, Lord, how to become better men and women so that we can teach our children. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick, that you will grant them healing. And we thank you, Lord, for your love, and thank you for all that you have done for us. Help us, Lord, to give to you our hearts. And for these last days, Heavenly Father, help us to remember that you have a purpose and a plan for each and every one of our lives. Help us not to keep the words just in here in our church, but to spread it all over our communities and our countries and our world. Thank you for the message. Thank you for your cross. Thank you that Jesus Christ is coming again soon, and we are excited about that. Just be with the pastor as he brings to us his word. I pray, Lord, that we will be blessed by what he has to say, because we know it comes from you. We pray for the Kaneo choir as they sing. Father God, touch our hearts to the words that they have. Help us, Lord, to remember this day. Help us to remember this Sabbath. And thank you, Lord, for a day of rest in which we can come together in fellowship and just worship you for the great things that you have done in our lives. Thank you for being with us, Lord. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Camarillo Church. I always love coming to this church. I went to a church like this in Florida, same kind of structure. Felt at home there just as I feel at home here. So thank you very much for inviting us again. First song we want to sing for you is a song of encouragement. It's just titled, Walking on That Heavenly Road. I don't know about you, but many times on my walk I fall down. Not only do I fall down, but I get kicked. I get shoved to the side. Things happen to me all the time. But you know what? If we keep walking, look where we're going. One day I was driving in Tampa, Florida, and I came across a construction site. Big old man working there. He was wearing a shirt he shouldn't have been wearing. Much too small for him. Things were folding out that shouldn't have been folding out. But for some reason, his saying on the back of the shirt caught my eye, and I've just loved this shirt ever since, and it said, working for the Lord may not get you a lot of money, but the retirement plan is out of this world. So let's just keep on walking on that heavenly road. doesn't matter if you're Jonathan's size or Kira's size, you can make a difference. We try to teach our kids that you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a principal, a teacher, but you can make a difference somehow. Many of you here have made differences in our lives. You know, I didn't tell Roy this, but Sunday morning, Roy, until I got your call, I was really depressed. Our jogathon had just been canceled because it rained, and all that hard work going on, and just, oh, I was so depressed. And Roy called me up and said, hey, it's sunny out. I said, yeah, I know, but the track is just a sloppy, muddy mess, and so we're going to have to cancel it. And he said something to me. He goes, well, he said, God has a reason, and then all of a sudden he says, and guess what, Phil? He goes, you have a chance to ask people to get more money for the jogathon. I said, Roy, thank you so much for receiving this, seeing that silver lining. And it's worked. We've had other kids get some money for our jogathon. So we ask you that you'll pray for us on Friday. We're going to be running. And our scholarships allow 33 of these kids at our school to attend a Christian and get a Christian education. And your help is greatly appreciated. But you can make a difference, and it doesn't matter what you do. Just make that your goal to make a difference in somebody's life. Our soloist today is Jonathan Castiglione. He's in the fifth grade, and I'm sure that you will be blessed by this song.
Difference, yes, I will make the difference. Against all odds, I can live to share my love with others. Yes, I will make the difference. I can make it. Take my hand as we make this journey across the land. I'm
And yes, you will make a difference. You already are. What a privilege it is to have Kaneo with us today. Boy, that light is bright. Let me move over just a little bit. Are you there? I don't remember it being that cha-boom. Can we unplug that one? Please? I need to see you. This has been a great week. Despite the sadness that I mentioned earlier, thank you. It's been an awesome week. As a pastor, it's one of those weeks that you pray for. And God has answered my prayers as well as Will's, because every night this week, starting with Sunday night with our banquet, then Monday through last night, Friday night, and finishing tonight will be our week of prayer. And the most exciting thing about this week of prayer is not only the people that are coming out and being blessed every night, but the children that are coming out and being blessed. And to watch them just learn more about Jesus all week long has been a tremendous blessing. So I have really enjoyed that week of prayer, and if you would love to join us tonight at 5:00 for the conclusion of our week of prayer, we would love to have you here. Jesus is doing marvelous things in our hearts and in our lives. What we have discovered is that God's grace is amazing, and that He is planning the most incredible home for you. Yet home is called heaven. He's soon to come and take us home with Him. The question for us is, what are we doing today to be prepared for that day? For you see that there's going to come a point in time when every knee will bow and acknowledge Jesus as being Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Every knee will bow. Let's pray. Gracious, loving Jesus, this morning I plead with the Holy Spirit to be poured upon us, to anoint us with an anointing that is more than what occurred in the upper room even. It's more powerful than even that. It's an anointing that purges us of all sin because of your gift on Calvary. It's an anointing that prepares us for service for you. It's an anointing that takes care of all of the problems and concerns of our daily walk. It's an anointing that is more special than anything else because it assures us of our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, there's many women and children, men as well, out there in our communities, in our city, in our state, in our nation, and around the globe, that need to know what we know about you. My prayer this morning is that when we leave here today, we leave endowed with your Spirit, so that as we go out, we cannot keep quiet. And before we ever speak, those that we are reaching out to will see you living in us. Remove us from the picture and replace us with you, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence with us today and this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There's going to come a day when every knee will bow. Scripture tells us that before Jesus comes, there's going to be a mighty work of the Holy Spirit, and that people will be seeking a deeper and more powerful relationship with Him than they've ever had before. In the past, there have been great movements. If you think back into history, in the 1840s and leading into that time era, there was a great awakening, not just here in North America, but around the world, of men and women who were responding to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there have been waves of that occurring since then. But what about today? What about now? Are we truly seeking, putting this relationship with Jesus in the front burner like we've never had before? Moms and dads, when you're with your children, when your day starts at home, are they hearing the message loud and clear that today is the day that they must choose to walk with you? And you as a mom and dad are modeling what that is like for them. Teachers, when those kids arrive at our schools, are we those living examples of what it means to be that model teacher and that model principal? You know, I walked that walk, and that can be a tough walk. A fun walk, an exciting walk, but there can be times when, Phil, you and I can be really tested as administrators at school. Challenges that come that we don't expect. That happens in every line of work. But in our education today, we are faced with challenges that we probably have never been faced with before. Satan is on the attack like he's never been on the attack before. He's going after our children. He's going after you, mom and dad, with a vengeance. What mechanism do you have in place to protect you from his attack? You know the answer, don't you? You're here, so you know the answer. The answer is Jesus. And when you give your life to him in full and complete surrender to him, you discover something amazing, that he will work a miracle in your life. I want to take us to our scripture today, Philippians chapter 2, and see if we can unpack some glorious truths that this has for us today. Let's look at verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him, Jesus, the name above every name. Isn't that exciting? Jesus. Jesus. Remember back when the angel appeared to Mary, Matthew 1, verse 21. Here's what he told Mary. He said, Mary, you will bring forth a son, and you will call his name what? Say it with me. Jesus, for he will what? Save his people from their sins. Now imagine yourself in Mary's place, a young virgin. This angel has just given you this prophetic and powerful message. And you're saying, wow, I'm going to be the earthly mother of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to be the earthly mother of Jesus. Now, I can't imagine what that must have felt like to Mary. But when the angel told her the message of Matthew 1:21, I'm sure she was going like, wow, this is amazing. Jesus, the name above every name. How often does that name roll off your tongue? In praise, or in request, or in prayer, or in praise? Jesus. 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 So how do we respond today to the name of Jesus? You know, in Revelation 17, it's an interesting chapter. It's a chapter in the Bible that talks about the false system of worship. It talks about Babylon and the harlot of Babylon. And in chapter 17, verse 5, it talks about the judgment of the great harlot. Here's what it says. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and the abomination of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Verse 14. You see, Satan is out to destroy us, isn't he? He's doing a pretty good job of it. There's death, dying, pain, suffering, all kinds of yucky stuff going on out there in the world. But here John the Revelator says, and when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement at her, at this harlot. But then he comes to verse 14, and notice what he says here. The harlot, under the leadership of Satan, will make war with the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. And the Lamb will what? Overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called what? Say it with me. You are called chosen and faithful. And I say, hallelujah. That's worth kneeling for and giving Jesus gratitude and thanks. In Revelation 19, it pictures Jesus riding on a white horse. And I want to focus on verse 16, where he says, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. And on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Getting the picture? Getting the picture of Jesus and what he wants to be and what he has to offer you today? Back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul continues with these words, that at the name of Jesus, how many shall bow? Every knee shall bow. Of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth. So this every knee concept is so critical and so important for us to understand. Paul is using these thoughts. He goes back and draws them from Isaiah 45, and then applies them to the ultimate universal adoration of Jesus. That not only will we be, every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth, bowing and acknowledging Jesus as Lord of Lords, but even the unfallen worlds will join us. In Romans 14, I had the R right. In Romans 14, verse 11, Paul gives us these words. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Well, Pastor Dennis, we get the message. You can move on now. Can I really? We're all going to kneel and honor Jesus and respect him as our Lord of Lords and King of Kings. I hope you do. Young people, are you getting this? Are you understanding this concept that we have the privilege and the honor, if we're a child of God, to kneel in his presence and acknowledge his majesty and grace? I want you to go to the end of this earth's history, and a chiasmatic event is going to take place. There's going to be a little cloud show up on the eastern sky, about the size of a man's hand. What's that the sign of? The little cloud's a sign of who's coming? Jesus. The saints are going to be intently looking for that because the world is going to be in a mess. We're going to be anxiously waiting for our rescue mission. And there it is, a little cloud that gets larger and larger and transforms from a dark little cloud to a glorious cloud that just covers the entire sky. And all of you saints look up and say, "Lo, this is our God, and he will save us." Jesus comes. The trumpet sounds. There's the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ rise first. And suddenly great things happen. And then God's people join those who have just burst forth from the grave. And together we rise to meet Jesus on that cloud. Great event. Wonderful event. Exciting event. Who wants to miss it? Why did you ask that question? I don't want you to miss it. I don't want to miss it. But there are some that will. That will choose not to embrace Jesus. The saints are off to heaven, and this old world becomes uglier than it's ever been in all of its history. It's a place of devastation and destruction and death. The only beings that are here for 1,000 years are Satan and his demons. Looking at all of the destruction and devastation, while the saints, after that week-long journey to heaven, walk in to the beautiful gates of the city of God. And they're there for 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, the most miraculous thing that will ever have occurred in all of the history of God's world will be when that massive city descends from heaven and comes to this earth. It arrives. It establishes itself on planet Earth. Now, there's going to be some miracles taking place. We're going to be living in a world that are dimensions far beyond our three-dimensional world, because when that city, its size, lands there in the area of Jerusalem, where Jerusalem is today, this earth, without a miraculous transformation, will be going loop, loop, because that city is so massive. About 1,500 miles square on each side. Imagine that. And the Bible says it's as wide as it is long as it is high. Look up into the sky. 1,500 miles. You can't even look that high. That's amazing. But it's going to be awesome. And if you're in the city, you get to experience all of this traveling of space, and how God can move, you know, mountains is nothing compared to moving the New Jerusalem down to this earth. It's going to be incredible. So, what happens next? Then there's another resurrection, the second resurrection, when all of the wicked are raised. Remember that? And so you're on the city walls looking out at the masses that have said no to Jesus. Satan is now visible to your eyesight. His demons, angels, are now visible to your eyesight. And you see this horrific mass. The difference between them and you is when they are resurrected, they come out of the tomb with the same handicaps, the same problems, the same physical conditions that they went into the tomb or the grave with. Where do you want to be? In the city or outside the city? How many of you want to be in the city? We do, don't we? And then, we've had 1,000 years in heaven to have the books opened, and we look at all the books. We see why Pastor Dennis didn't make it. I hope that's not the case. I'm praying that that's not the case, okay? I don't want any of you missing. I don't want to be missing this experience, because I will be part of one or the other of those groups just as you will be. I want to be in the city with you and all of my family and all of your families. And oh, that's going to be such a great place to be. But then, that through that 1,000 years in heaven, we've have opened the books to see why Aunt Sue and Uncle Charlie or a mom or a dad or a brother or sister aren't there. And as we look at the record, we see, oh man, the decision they made was not to be a part of Jesus' life. But God is a just and fair God. Jesus is a judge that is just absolutely incredible and fair. So now the wicked are raised, and they experience what you had the opportunity to experience for that 1,000 years in heaven. Suddenly, their lives are portrayed before them. And as they sit in front of that television screen, or, you know, we think we have pretty good technology, but I think God's is far better than ours. I don't know how he's going to do this, but even if in their mind he shows that replay of their lives and the decisions that they had made from hour to hour and day to day and week to week and month to month and year to year, and that ultimate decision that said, I don't want to keep the commandments of God. I don't want to be a part of his kingdom. I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. There. Got that? God says, got it. And it's recorded. And then it says that following that portrayal of their lives, and that every one of them sees that God was just and fair with every one of them, and we are there within the city watching this event take place. And then I don't know how Jesus is going to do it, but he is the miracle worker. And somehow, some way, he is going to make himself visible to all of the masses, both in and out of the city. And we're told that at that point, even Lucifer himself and all of his evil angels will bow at the knee and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Where do you want to be on that day? In the city or out of the city? I want to be in the city with you. And then the next horrific thing that happens, and actually it's an act of grace in my opinion, fire comes down from heaven and obliterates sin and sinner forever and ever. No more stain of sin is on the earth. It's gone. There is no eternal burning because Malachi talks about this as stubble. You know, we who live in Southern California know what forest fires do, don't we? What's left after a forest fire races through? Ashes. It's on the surface of the earth. It's not down in the earth. It's a surface fire. This world is purged of sin. It's a purifying fire. Every knee will bow. Jesus experienced for you and me something that was incredible. We can read about it in Luke. Where he talks about his experience awaiting for the cross. Let me find my spot here. Luke 22. They had just had the Lord's Supper. And Jesus had told his disciples that tonight, that night, he was going to be betrayed. And then he led his disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane. There on the Mount of Olives. In verse 40 says, when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into what? Temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then a sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Oh, my friends. Jesus knows how powerful Satan is. Jesus knows that for us to be safe in the arms of Jesus, that we must kneel now. We must kneel daily in praying to him, Jesus, so that he will take control of our lives and be the life giver every second of the day, so that we remain ready to be in the city of God on that grand and glorious day. Make sure, regardless of how young you are or how old you are, that we stay on our knees in prayer, so that we remain ready to meet Jesus when he comes in the clouds of heaven.
Our last song we'd like to sing for you is just titled, Thankful. I'm thankful for that sermon, Pastor Sir Walt. It gives me something to look forward to. I can't wait for that day that you talked about. We're just so thankful that we're here. I'm thankful for these group of kids. You may not know this, but they keep me looking young. I'm going to be having my 50th birthday here in a couple weeks, and they let me know about it every day. But I'm just so grateful that I have the opportunity to work with these kids. Mrs. Vette, I know I say this every time, but this lady is a master when it comes to conducting a choir, and she's just amazing. Kids, let's just say thank you to Mrs. Vette in public. Yeah. Roy, I'm so thankful for you for all you do for Christian education, not just for our school, but for everything you do for every school that you're ever involved with. The Lord has blessed you, and you have taken your blessings and spilled them over onto us. And there are many kids standing up here right now because of your efforts, and so I just wanted to thank you for that. Remember our school in your prayers. When you leave today, go up to someone and tell them what you're thankful for. You may be thankful for I'm thankful for Mrs. Champlin's egg casserole this morning. Amazing stuff. So just go up and tell someone what you're thankful for, and it'll make you feel better. Thank you.
Stay there. Stay there. We do have so much to be thankful for, don't we? We have Jesus to be thankful for. He's the one that we're singing to and for. We're grateful for Christian education, dedicated teachers and staff, dedicated parents who make the sacrifice to make Christian education possible, churches that go the extra step to make sure no child is left behind that desires a Christian education. So much to be thankful for. We are grateful, and I want to thank you for blessing us today. Thank you. I'm not one of their parents, but my buttons were popping. Let's pray. Loving Jesus, we come to you at the close of another hour of worship, remindful of the fact that we need you, Jesus, in our hearts and in our lives 24/7. On behalf of this church family and all of my brothers and sisters that are gathered here today, we want you to know, Jesus, that we make this commitment to you, that we will be more intentional from this day forward to grow in our relationship with you. And through the infilling and the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be better equipped than ever to share you all day, every day. Jesus, I pray for a very special blessing and anointing on our families and friends here today. Be with those that couldn't be here today. You love them. You're with them. They are experiencing the same powerful invitation that we are too. So just bathe them in your love and grace. And keep us all walking faithfully with you between now and eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.